I want to give you some good news in the middle of this tragedy that we heard about. Some good news from Shafit Palestine campaign. I had a phone call from Nusayrat refugee camp yesterday to confirm that our long-awaited ball pool is nearly completed. I just want to give you a very quick background to it. Because of the siege, we allocated an amount of money which we sent to Nusayrat, but the price of cement at the time, 2 years ago, shot up to 240 shekels a bag. Usually it is 40, so it's just like seven times more. So they couldn't do anything, and we kept liaising with them, and the good news is that hopefully within a few days, if maybe 2 weeks, we'll be receiving the photographs of this. So in the middle of the calamity that we are in the middle of the siege, the aggression, we still managed to this project. They still managed it with your help, so thanks all of you for that. I'd like to just mention that before you go, if some of you want to go, our finances aren't very, very well, because we spend a lot on two major projects, as I said, the ball pool and the child cinema in Jabalia. And so Jasvinda will go around with the buckets, so I'd like people to donate. We don't welcome coins at all, so notes or nothing. No, I'm only joking. I'd like to introduce Hilary Smith. Hilary is one of our dynamos here in Sheffield, and especially in spearheading the boycott, divestment, and sanction activities. And it's amazing, not only Hilary, what other people are doing within this subcommittee. And the boycott campaign has become really visible in Sheffield, and our activities are all over the place. Hopefully, we'll move it to divestment and sanctions. But without any delay, I'll introduce Hilary. We'll talk for 5 minutes about the BDS, and half past eight we'll start the discussion. Hilary.
Okay, I know you really want to ask questions of Osama and Alex, but if we leave here tonight just feeling outraged and sickened, and also in awe of other brave people that are far braver than us, then we will have achieved nothing tonight. And so we need, part of what we do tonight is to think about the steps forward. I've also been involved from the outset with the Free Gaza movement, and I think what the flotilla has showed to us and showed to the world, inspired by Palestinians, of course, who every day of their lives practice non-violent resistance and resistance against Israel, the flotilla has shown us the absolute necessity of direct action by civil society. Absolutely. It is only because of this direct action that the Gaza blockade is in the news all over the world today. And still, and yet in spite of that, we see that our government, the US government, the European Union and the United Nations are still doing nothing apart from talking. And so direct action has got to carry on. It seems to me that if there's no other conclusion from what we've seen over the last weeks, we have to continue to shame our government, shame the European Union, and to make them completely uncomfortable with their complicity with Israel. And I want to say, people are in awe of what the Free Gaza movement, the flotilla, has done. But there is no huge organisation behind it. And in Britain particularly, this is a personal plea to you, there remains today no organised group organising Free Gaza. There are some fantastic individuals. Osama's one of them. Mashir's very modest. He was on the first boat to Gaza. But we need more people to take part. Not everybody is going to be brave enough to go on one of those boats or in a position to do that. But for every person that's on the next flotilla, we need 100 people back here doing some of the preparation work, hassling the Foreign Office, getting onto the media, because the people on the boats can't do it themselves. And those people will have died in vain if we don't put in a proper structure around the next direct action, whether that's a flotilla, whether it's a land convoy as well. The other thing I want to say is that now I believe that it's really clear that the state of Israel in its current form is a dying state. That's my personal opinion. And as it dies, we see it becoming more and more dangerous to Palestinians, of course, first and foremost, but now to internationals, to anyone who dares to stand in resistance to Israel. And it means that it's more important than ever that we work collectively. We work collectively with Palestinians under occupation, Palestinians inside Israel, anti-Zionist Jewish groups, small though they are, inside Israel, because they are going to face more and more repression. And we have to, so we have to support direct action. And we all have to make a commitment, if you haven't already, to the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement. Because Israel is very, very afraid of this movement. And it is powerful because it is a united call from Palestinians. And it's so it's something each one of us can get behind, knowing that collectively this is what Palestinians are asking us to do. So as well as what Osama's already asked you tonight about the BBC, and I second and third and fourth that, and other media, I want everybody to make a commitment to what they can do. I know that Dick, who's here somewhere, has got some ideas about specific projects that we, things that we can take forward in Sheffield. I want people to get themselves onto our boycott list so that they can be involved in our boycott actions. There's a newspaper article going around of an action we did on Saturday. Again, you don't have to risk arrest. You don't have to risk your life, luckily, in Britain. And we do support each other. Everybody can take a part in this, a role. And the last thing I want to say is the people that were on the flotilla have lost an awful lot and have been through an awful lot. And I know the last thing that they want to do is to talk about themselves and the situation they're in. But I've been talking to some of the other people who've been involved in Free Gaza, and Sharon, who many of you will have met, who was on the first boat and again is one of the founders. And we're just setting up a very, very small, very limited appeal to help with some of the immediate needs that people have, like maybe travelling to London to take part in a support meeting, some of the things that people might need. It's going to be very, very small. It's not about letting Israel off the hook in terms of compensation. But if anybody is interested in helping with that, then perhaps you could have a word with me afterwards or contact me afterwards.
Thank you very much. Hey, we got only half an hour for discussion, and I'd like to invite people to ask questions. Please, I'll be very strict on statements. We want questions, because we don't have time for statements or analysis. We want to hear from the people, from Osama and Alex, what they...
Can you tell us how many people lost their passports and what things were stolen from you by the IDF?
I don't know how many passports. I definitely know that there's people are trying to find out that at the moment. Certainly Nikki Enchmarch, who...
It's about 17 passports missing.
17. In terms of stuff, well, all of our cameras, all of our mobile phones, all of our laptops... That's all gone.
And tapes.
And money.
And money.
And yeah, and some people have lost money from their bags. I had money in my bag, which wasn't taken, but I had it on me. In fact, that was one of the things that one of the officers said to me was money is the most important thing in the world. Hang on to it. And I thought, I'll hang on to that. And when I get back, all the people that come and ask me, what can I do? I'll just say, boycott, divestment, sanctions. Can you please do that at least? And so, yes, if that's the most important thing. Yeah, so the technology hasn't come back as far as I know.
Yeah.
I read on Craig Murray's website that Nadi Mara reflagged before sailing. Is this true or is it just a rumour?
What do you mean reflagged?
You know, it was under Turkish... It was a Turkish national...
It's under Comoros, isn't it?
It's a Comoros island.
Okay, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
Okay,
it didn't reflag, but it's just free.
Okay.
Elizabeth?
Yes, I wanted to ask, in terms of the Israeli Defence Forces and people who planned this operation, I mean people at the top from the government,
yeah,
was it premeditated murder? Did they plan the operation to all of the fatalities?
Yeah, I was in that meeting and they told me yes.
They had a target list that they dropped on board, but we don't know whether that target list was for, you know, it said provoke. I think it said the word provoke, did it?
Yeah.
Provoke these people. Does that mean that they're going to, you know, then have to defend themselves and shoot them?
I don't, you know, the way they behaved on that ship, it was clear. They have got strict orders, stop it, whatever the cost.
Do you think that given that all the Turkish people were murdered, do you think that they were singled out?
Okay, no. What's happened basically, the death are all Turkish because the Turkish people, as Alex explained, they treated us, those who are not from Turkey on that ship, as guests. And as a result of that, we were taken care of, we were fed very well, and they told us there's some areas where it's very dangerous, for example, next to the torpedo of the ship, and next to the captain room, and the media. Mm-hmm. And these areas, if there's any resistance, would be the strongest areas. And they say, this is our ship, we will defend it, if anybody will be harmed, it will be us because you're our guests. It's a complete and absolute honourable thing to do. And that's fast, the reason.
Just first of all, the missing passports are bound to turn up somewhere.
Yeah. Because
Israel has a past record on that one. But secondly, I remember in 1976 when children were shot in Soweto, and it was a turning point in the struggle against apartheid. Do you feel that this is a turning point in the struggle against...
With your permission, yes. What I've said at the beginning, it is a massive movement, and we've seen it happen, and that's why we need all of you to be part of this movement. And it's an invitation. We can feel it, we can hear it, and we can see people all over the world. I'm not willing to say anymore. They're going to say something.
Yeah, I think the bombing of Gaza was meant to be a turning point, and but that didn't... I mean, when I got back, people were saying to me, this is bigger than that. Now, I'm a relative newcomer to campaigning for Palestine. I could not. It was the Gaza bombing that kicked me into action, actually. And if I could say the same thing that a year later, you know, here I am, and that effect might happen to people, then let's see in a year what's going on. I feel quite positive about it.
We heard yesterday that the US administration has welcomed the Israeli announcement of their independent investigation, including two independent outside observers. One's David Trimble, I can't remember who the other one is. I just wonder what the people who were in the flotilla are. What's your position on that? Are you going to refuse to cooperate with that investigation?
Yes. Yes. I've already spoken on the media about it without consulting my colleagues to say that we just reject that. They're welcome to do their own investigation. They're going to need to, but in terms of one that we recognise or trust or actually has evidence that's valid, then that can't happen with an Israeli-led investigation. It's not possible.
Okay, I would like you to take a copy of this and write to what's his name, William Hague, and ask him to push for an independent international investigation, because that's what we need. We're not going to cooperate with Israel. It's like I'm fighting with you, and you'll decide, okay, who's wrong and who's right. And of course, you can say I'm wrong because you're fighting with me. So it's just ridiculous. And I think it's just we need to push the Foreign Office in the UK to investigate what happened in that international water. What happened in that international water is a war crime. It's an international crime, and it needs to be investigated by an international team.
Hilary wanted to come.
Yeah, Free Gaza. If you look on the Free Gaza website, there's a statement. Of course, there's got no question of any cooperation with an Israeli panel. The Free Gaza are drawing attention to the International Committee of the Red Cross statement that the blockade of the Gaza Strip is collective punishment, and therefore we have a responsibility, not just are allowed, but a responsibility to intervene. because collective punishment is against the Geneva Convention. That panel, by the way, the average age of the panel members is 84 years old. One member is 93 years old. I'm not being ageist, but Israel is just taking the piss.
Yeah, and they,
what all and of I, our governments
I can
are.
Add, I can add that the Turkish government said that they will not cooperate and they don't accept this commission.
Just quickly, what I found like really, really, really outrageous, that the British and the American government linking the blockade on Gaza with the investigation about the ship, they are totally, completely separate issues. Yeah. We're not going to let Israel say, okay, we'll allow, because, you know, they allowed chocolates now to the Gaza Strip. So, oh, we'll let chocolates, but forget about the investigation. We should not let them draw us into this bloody, stupid, ridiculous.
What happened to the aid that you were carrying on the ship that it made to Gaza? Because they said that they would redistribute it.
I don't care. It wasn't about the aid. I told you, Gaza Strip need 15,000 a day. So whatever we have on that ship, 25, whatever, you know, we don't need. It's not about the aid that we talk. Of course, it's our property and we need to take it back. We were looted in international water. They took all our passports, money, and also our cargo and the ships. These are properties and we need them to be back to us. We will decide how to get them to Gaza Strip. The Gazan people announced that they will not accept this cargo from Israel because it's a gift, not from Israel, it's a gift from the people who are in the flotilla, and they are the one who are entitled to bring this gift to Gaza.
They've told the Israelis have made a statement that the aid on the Rachel Corrie, which of course they boarded peacefully, the aid on the Rachel Corrie is in disarray, hasn't been loaded properly, has somehow been damaged as it's been unloaded. This is the amount of respect that Israel has for the stuff on board those ships.
Question there.
You mentioned that there are some things to provoke people. If you didn't react the way you did, could the killing be prevented?
What do you mean, react the way we react? Like how?
Explain how you on the man and how you were defending yourself.
Yeah.
And we have seen and film you throwing stones and things.
So what
if
would
you... If you didn't react, could the killing be stopped?
I would have been killed, of course, yeah.
No. Could you prevent the killing? Because you didn't react, then it will come to the ship.
Well, hang on a second. If there is a soldier shooting at me, and I didn't react, I mean, obviously one of the bullets will be coming towards me, no? I mean, my reaction was to prevent these bullets coming to me. And I expect everybody else who was doing that thing that you've seen...
Well, you explained that. You stick three guns at the man, but he didn't do anything?
He was shooting. He emptied one of the cartridges on the ground. He was shooting. I mean, I was just shouting.
How have you managed to take 20 guns?
Because there are five soldiers, and each one of them were disarmed. Let me just explain. The Israelis. The Israeli soldiers, when they landed, they were fully armed. They have masks on their face. They've got three guns. One of them attached to his leg, a pistol. They've got an Uzi here on his vest, and he's carrying a gun in his hand. Okay? So when he landed, when he fall on the course of falling, that gun was hanging from his shoulder, and he grabbed that Uzi, which was on the side, trying to whatever. So when I saw him, I saw a man, there's a gun hanging from his shoulder, and another gun in his hand, and then there's a pistol in his foot. Just explain things. And obviously he was shooting. So what I've done was just taking his hands away from me, and he was shooting on the air, and also on the side of the ships. But he was still shooting at that time. I didn't know why I've done it, but I tell you, at that minute, when you see these things happening in front of you, if you are in my position, you have to say like, "Hi, how are you doing?" Or you would just basically scream out loud and catch his hand and try to defend yourself. And obviously, when you have like these crazy people landing on top of you, I mean, our reaction was completely self-defense. It came out of like, I think everybody here in this room, even the most peaceful guy, would just do the same thing.
Yeah, one of the guys in the processing said to me, but they didn't come on to kill you. And I said, if they didn't come on to kill us, why they brought live ammunition in the first place?
Why they were shooting from the helicopter?
Yeah. Okay.
I've read and heard that it said quite a number of people still missing from the boats. I wondered why the people said to me about that. And also about some of the boats which were sabotaged off Cyprus. Could you say to me about that?
I don't know. I don't know about those things. I know that I would trust IHH to be processing all the information. And I don't kind of try and pester them for information on a daily basis or anything like that. I try and wait and see what they're going to say. I'm sure they've got loads and loads of stuff to go through. It's really difficult with the coalition because it's a loose coalition. Nobody's organising the whole lot. People were asking us for information about who's on the whole flotilla, and it was really, really difficult for me to provide that information. I only had the list of who was on Mavi Marmara because they come from so many different places and organised in a very loose way.
Yeah, can
I? Obviously, Free Gaza have asked IHH about this, and IHH are pretty confident that there is nobody missing any longer. I mean, they're still not 100% certain, but that's their judgment at the moment, that there isn't anybody missing. If that changes, then they'll obviously communicate that. But that's the current situation.
Question?
I'm just not clear about the way you said it. Are you saying that the commanders has actually come on board the ship with a killing order already? And if you've just simply surrendered, they would still kill you?
No, I think it was pretty obvious that they are coming to the ship
to kill you.
Well,
no matter what you did.
No, I don't think they were like, for them, I don't think they were, I mean, they were absolutely clear that there is strong resistance on this Lady Marmara with 600 people, and the only way to control that ship is by killing people. And I think they knew this before they boarded the ship, otherwise they would have not boarded it the way they boarded it. That's not, the way they boarded our ship, from a military point of view, it's not, it's not a very rehearsed way, and the bringing of the covering ships and the helicopters suggest that they know exactly what they're going to face and they're going to shoot. I mean, if they expected to land in between 600 angry people on the ship without being at least intercepted by us, they'd be fooled. And I don't think they'd...
Sorry, Hillary. Hillary, there is more people first. Yeah. No, but no, please, when other people speak.
No resistance at all.
Sorry.
I think that's what that question is.
Excuse me. Can you please speak when you ask to speak? Sorry, we finished your point.
No, I'm just asking, if there was no resistance at all, would they still shot at you?
I can't answer on their behalf, but can I just say
something which Osama said on the radio interview, which he hasn't said tonight, that they came down shooting. Can you confirm that?
Yeah,
Osama?
Yeah. They were shooting from two helicopters.
Yeah, so Osama didn't say
it. Doesn't matter what you did. They started shooting before.
They came shooting. They were shooting before any soldier were on the ship.
Exactly. Yeah.
We heard and see bullets and live ammunition on the ship before any soldier were on the ship.
Yeah. You wanted to speak.
Could you clarify what the final death toll actually was? Because I heard several different reports at the time.
We've got a few critical people who are still in hospital, like my friend, I've shown you his picture, washed it in his heart. That we've got until now confirmed 9 deaths, but I hope there will not be more, but that's very optimistic to say.
Yes, there was a request to speak from there, and then there. Was there anybody from there?
No, I was going to say that. No. Well, I heard that they were landing and shooting at the same time.
Yeah. Hillary, do you want to come back?
I'm just trying to help with that question.
Yeah, okay.
The pressing charges on British courts against the people who organized this?
I think, if you don't mind, Alex, we have been investigated by the Turkish authorities, and we've done it through the right channels. We brought a complaint through the Turkish prosecutors. We are putting a case now internationally, coordinated from all the countries, and we are putting our full account, our full statement. We are calling for everybody who got evidence to come forward, and we're calling for actually the Israeli army to give us our footage, which prove what we are saying is right and correct, so we can assist our countries into pressing charges against these war criminals who committed war crimes in international water.
It's on the question of the positive outcome of this. One of the positive things is not just the immediate exposure, but the role of Turkey in this, that Turkey was one of Israel's biggest allies in the Muslim world, and that seems to have changed to some extent, or it looks as though it's changed. But I'm just wondering if anybody on the panel knows anything about the Israeli military bases that are still in Turkey, whether, you know, what's the Turkish government doing about that?
I don't know.
Well, sorry.
I said, can you answer that?
Yes, I mean, all what happened until now is that the Turkey has called their ambassador to Ankara, and Turkey has asked for an Israeli apology, explicit Israeli apology for what happened. And then if Israel, Turkey said that if Israel doesn't apologize explicitly, then we will see what we can, what we will do in terms of the relationship with Turkey. But everything else hasn't changed up until now. Everything is there, pending, waiting for what Israel. Israel said very arrogantly, we are not going to apologize at all for anything we've done. Unfortunately, the Israeli public opinion is 100%, if not maybe 95% behind Netanyahu on this. So we will wait and see the Turkish response. But up until now, everything is as it is.
What's your feeling about it, Moshe? Because it's quite, it could be really important.
My feelings is that there is in Turkey, and our friend here may be able to help us.
600,000 people in the street of Turkey for 6 days. Definitely, it's a very strong message to the government. And the government of Turkey, but they're not going to listen to Israel and let their people.
Yeah, but Turkey's torn between the generals and the government. I don't doubt the government at all. If it was for the government, the Turkish government, tomorrow they will sever links with Israel and take concrete steps. But it's like
politics.
It's politics, and really there's two parts of Turkey now struggling on this issue. But the people are with the government, but the generals are not. You know. Did you want to speak? No, I thought you were raising your hand. Anyway, one before I take more questions, one important point is missing here, and that's to add to answer to your question. The Gaza Strip is here, the Gazan territorial water is here, and then the international waters. There is no Israeli waters between Gaza and the international waters. Israel claims that under Oslo Agreement, we have the power to control the waters, which is a joke, because what has Israel done to Oslo Agreement? They haven't respected any item of Oslo Agreement. They are sieging the Gaza Strip, they're building the apartheid wall in the West Bank, they continue with the settlement program, they're denying Palestinians the right of return, they're doing everything that is in violation of all agreements with the Palestinians, economic agreements as well, Paris Agreement. They just completely revoked it. They're not allowing, you know, material, goods, humanitarian aid, food, whatever, to Gaza. So they just destroyed the Oslo Agreement, and then they're claiming under Oslo Agreement we have the control over the waters. So they have no right, none whatsoever, to be in those waters and take. We criticize the pirates of Somalia, but definitely without any rhetoric, there is this piracy. Those are pirates who boarded this under, you know. So please remember, they have no right to be there. So whatever happened after that was as a result of their piracy. More questions?
The Israeli justification for what they did at the moment is saying that it's illegal.
Can you speak up, Jenny, please?
The Israeli justification at the moment seems to be that they had the legal right to stop their blockade being broken by the flotilla. Hmm. I mean, that seems to be the defense. So, who sees that the blockade is legal in the first place? Is there any defense of there being a blockade in the first place?
The United Nations announced that blockade is illegal. That's enough. It's illegal, and that's enough. But I mean, whatever Israel does, of course, is justified according to Israeli government and according to Israeli, forces, and that's why we're challenging them, and that's what I've said. Like our mission to Gaza wasn't going to deliver humanitarian aid, although that was a big part of it, and we need to claim access to Gaza by land, sea, and air, and that is their right, you know, and that's also behind it. Instigate the freedom of trade, the freedom of movement, the freedom of access to anything that we are accessing, basically, as a human beings, and to trap 1.8 million in the Gaza Strip, denying them access to simple, basic human right things, is what we are challenging. We're not challenging just the blockade, we're challenging the Israeli educational system of Gaza is a terrorist state, Palestine is a terrorist state, and we need to kind of put them in these train orders. these short orders that we don't believe in, including the blockade, is what we've been challenging. Of course.
Yeah, and I'd like. Sorry, can we speak? Can you ask to speak, please? I just want to add something. Maybe you weren't here when I mentioned it. And add to the United Nations. Yesterday, the International Committee of the Red Cross has stated that this blockade is illegal. And even, Jenny, even if the whole world says it's legal, we say it's illegal. You know, we don't care, you know, if Israel will influence all these organizations. It is illegal to put 1.5 million people under collective punishment, as simple as this.
You know, extraordinary.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said to you, their only defense is the Oslo Agreement. But they destroyed the Oslo Agreement, so they have no defense. If you don't respect the rest of the Oslo Agreement, which is poor anyway, then how can you defend this part? Sorry, other people here then.
I add something to this. The Israeli, after what happened on the hotel like 2 days ago, after that, they justified the blockade of Gaza. They said clearly, in very clear words, the blockade of Gaza is there because of Gilad Shalit, who is one soldier in uniform who has been captured in a battlefield in his base. And they are taking hostage of 11,000 Palestinian prisoners, including women and children in their prison. They are putting like 1.5 million without any food, without any water, without any things, because of Gilad Shalit, who wants one war prisoner, one soldier.
Okay.
Osama, you just mentioned land, sea, and air.
Yeah.
So on the subject of air, are the plans to charter planes?
Two planes, one to the West Bank and one to Gaza, and you'd hear about it very soon. Can I just come to... Yeah, can I just talk about this a little? I mean, maybe just to leave something, just on this note. I'm going to Turkey tomorrow, and I'm going to Tunisia and to Kuwait and to Saudi Arabia, blah, blah, blah. There is an ongoing organization of a new flotilla which is going to come in 2 months, maybe earlier, and it's going to have 62 ships. If you think Israel provoked international reaction on 6 ships, wait until you see the action on 62 ships. And I tell you, and I promise you, the blockade will be in the news. The blockade will be history in a matter of months. And on this, before the blockade on Gaza, Israel were allowing 4,000 kind of things to enter Gaza Strip. Now, they're allowing 114 items only. So there is 3,000 something is missing, okay, from the Gaza Strip. Among these things which Israel is preventing from entering Gaza, and I'm just reading my emails, is chocolate, coca, children toys, chewing gum, paper, musical instrument, whatever, all these kind of things.
Jam.
Strawberry.
Big band things.
Yeah.
And pizza,
everything. Okay. Well, I can't afford these.
Sorry, can I just mention that we can have 15 minutes after the speakers leave, because we need to talk to you about Shafid. I'd like to invite Dick after the speakers leave to say a few words. But we'll continue now with two more questions, and then we'll sum up. Okay. One question.
Yeah. You're obviously decent, free-thinking individuals. And your films are returned back to the UK and find Israeli shills like Mark Raged, scumbag. comparing you guys to Al-Qaeda because of the paltry sum of weapons that they've confiscated. That's actually filmed.
Write to bloody BBC and Channel 4 and ITN. Let us not complain about it. Let us write each one of us 100 email, 100 letter, telling them that we're disgusted from seeing this monster scumbag on the screen. We don't want him to be in our corners anymore.
I think it gets quite hard to paint. It gets quite hard for them to paint that picture when you've got really posh people like my parents on television with a double-barreled name,
and your brother,
and my brother, you know, saying their bit. And I think my brother said, I've emailed William Hague and David Cameron, and I've told them to pull their finger out. You know, like, let's get more people like that on board. You know, because. You know, but I'm really glad that they had that opportunity to speak. And it's really hard to describe my father, who's a lieutenant colonel, ex-lieutenant colonel from the British Army, as a terrorist. It's just...
one final question from Hillary.
Yeah, no, it's just that I disagree with you about Mark Regev. I think he's very good for us, actually. The more he's on the television, the more he exposes
Israel. But he makes me feel so sick.
Yes, I think it's really important that we always react to him.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's all what.
Sham is quite capable of committing massacres and murders.
Sure. I'm afraid that's all we have for tonight. We had so many points that could create hours and hours of discussion. I just want to mention that one name that was mentioned in Alex's talk, Al-Fakhura Project, you said, and to people who the name didn't mean anything, Al-Fakhura was the United Nations school in Jabalia refugee camp, which was shelled by the Israelis, and 45 civilians were killed inside it, despite the fact that they knew that it was civilian. And again, they passed their lies, and they said, now it was fired on us from that position, and we had to return fire. And even if their story, which was destroyed by the United Nations, John Geng, a very fine man, he came out and said, our report proves that there was no firing from that school. But even if there was firing from the school, do you retaliate by killing 45 civilians? This is the kind of Israel that people don't see in the West, you know. Even if we want to believe their lie that they were fired upon from. We mentioned, and I'd like you to remember, the issue of territorial international waters, and that Israel doesn't get a right at all to be in that position. We talked about the collection, and I hope everybody has seen the bucket. If you haven't seen it, please be brave enough to come here and see it, you know. But we trust that. I forgot to mention one important thing. We had a message of support from... You'd like to speak about it, Paul, quickly, from Rabbi Wise, from Naturi Karta, the group which opposes Zionism, and he was supposed to be with us here, but for reasons that I will not explain. Or shall I explain? Because apparently the Quakers don't believe in one God, so he can't enter a building which is run by the Quakers. But we welcome his support. Rabbi Wise, is it? Rabbi Wise, leader of Naturi Karta. And thank him for his message of support. He was supposed to be with us if we were not in this building. He said if we were in a mosque, he would have been happy to come. But the Quakers, he wouldn't. So I have to be honest about that. I would like to thank you very much. Thank you, the speakers first.
Thank you very much
for that. Thank you for coming.
You know, you promised me something, so please do it.
And we're not finishing until quarter past nine.
Yeah, we're not finishing until quarter past nine. I'd like to invite Dick here. He wants to say a few words about Shafid Actions. And
take care.
I'll just go and say goodbye.
Right, before people do leave, we didn't want this just to be a talking shop. It's not an accident that this is happening in Sheffield and there isn't a parallel meeting in Rotherham. We desperately need to set up. There must be people from Rotherham here. I bet everybody in this room knows some people who support Palestine in Rotherham. We can set up a group. It was a horror story we've heard tonight, but we must use that rage to build a movement that makes sure there isn't any other horror stories. We need to take this opportunity. You're from Rotherham.
No,
I'm not sure. Anyway, there was a sheet going round. It's at the back there. If you're from Rotherham or you know people from Rotherham, we could set up a group in Rotherham. Secondly, there'll be a convoy going, as the summer said, in 2 months' time. That's going to need vast amounts of money. Everyone in this room can organise some sort of fundraiser. Someone's got a birthday party this Saturday. Got his mates, his and her mates, there's two people sharing a birthday, and they're saying no presents, just put the money in a pot. Get together in small groups. You can put on a meal for your friends. There's loads of ways. You can think of ways of raising money much better than me. There's someone else I know who's running a marathon. You know, perhaps that's a bit far for some of us. Anyway. and we have already got a very, very effective boycott group that goes into the supermarkets. You don't face arrest. You just go in, load up the trolley with Israeli and settlements goods, argue with the people that are in the supermarket, and argue with the manager that shouldn't be there, while other people are outside giving leaflets, making the case. There's a simple message: it should not be business as usual with Israel. We haven't got a cultural boycott group. There's groups hopping to and from Israel as though it's just, you know, any other old country. Every time someone goes there, they need to be bombarded with organised letters. It will not happen unless we're organised to do it. We haven't got a cultural boycott group. The third thing that we're starting one. Anyone getting interested, make for Angela over there.
Angela and Sarah, who's here.
Sorry, Sarah. Excellent. Yeah. You got one. Needs more people in it. Is that a fair comment?
Absolutely. Yeah.
see Sarah and Angela afterwards. The other thing, I think we've got a specific responsibility in this town with making for the Friends of Israel. They got away with the slaughter in Gaza because there are whole layers of people, including the Prime Minister Cameron, saying, "I'm a friend of Israel." We have to challenge them. What's there to be friendly with? We have to make it totally unacceptable to identify and be a friend with Israel. That's some random selection of ideas. I'm sure this meeting, lots and lots of people come up with other ideas.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dick. I just want to emphasize on a point which we regard as one of our failures. We don't seem to have in our committee or in our active group young people, as many as we wish. And I can see a lot of young people here. I'd like to welcome you all to our organizing committee. We do need young people with us. We do need it. It's the young blood which takes over the movement eventually and pushes the work forward. And it's really a problem of the Palestine campaign in general, or pro-Palestine activities nationally. So please, whoever is here, who's young, and I can see many young people, all of you are there, Chris, Anthony, all of please try to get active with our committee. We'd love you to be with us. We'd love you to come and attend our planning meetings and pick and choose. You don't have to be with us 100% on our activities. You can pick one line. You can pick the children projects and work with it. You can pick the boycott. You can pick our activities. We need to really activate here some new line of activities, fundraising activities, sports activities, for instance. I tried in the past, and we did it successfully 3 times, to do basketball events, and we did it successfully. We need to do this again and again, different things. Maybe you'll come out with ideas that we don't think they're okay, but you will be able to take it, you know, and sponsor, you know, you started from scratch. So please, if you are interested, come to our next planning meeting, which is the second Wednesday of next month. Second Wednesday of next month here in this building upstairs. Second Wednesday of this month. All people are welcome. Not everybody here, of course. We'll have you in the room. But if anybody is interested, please come along. One thing that we want to talk about as well is the issue of, you know, Hillary talked about boycott, divestment, sanctions. We really need to think about sanctions as well as thinking about boycott. And we start to promote it among people that it's a crime for our government to be trading, to be supporting Israel with the weapons. We do have it in our agenda, but we don't have enough bodies maybe to push it as much as we wish. We need to think, we need to talk to people that we are supplying Israel with a lot of this equipment that they use against civilians in the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank, and elsewhere. So we need new blood with us. We need new people with us. So please keep it in mind and try to come along. And Hillary,
you want to say something?
I'm happy to, you know, work with you in the future. And I've been on the 2 previous convoys by land. And we're preparing another convoy in about 4 weeks, setting up from Britain. So if you know, if anyone would like to participate in that convoy, because I was the only one from Sheffield that went in the 2 previous convoys, and there was not many, you know, people from Sheffield. There were groups from Manchester and Birmingham. So you know, it'd be nice if we get people from Sheffield to participate and come along.
Excellent, so, yeah. As I said, I'd like to invite, if you wish to come to our planning meeting and talk, if you're interested in taking part in our activities, organise things, second Wednesday of next month.
I mean, one of the other things, we've got, I think, about 600 people on our email list. You know, if you want to say a little bit more about what you're doing and about the land convoy, then we can circulate that information, and then people, because often people don't know that we don't have offices, we don't have paid staff, do we? That, you know, so communication is really important. That going back to the cultural boycott, that's something that everybody can take part in, even if you don't have a lot of time. And as we said, Angela and Sarah both expressed interest in getting involved in trying to spread information in Sheffield so that we know what needs doing. And if there's other people interested, that would be great. We could do the same thing around sanctions, set up a small group that was wanting to work specifically on sanctions. And something that hasn't been in the news very, very much, but needs to be, is the fact that the trial is going on at the moment of the, I think it's 8 people who entered an EDO factory during the Gaza massacres in 2009 and destroyed a large amount of equipment that the factory is involved in selling parts for. F-16s
and drones as well.
And drones. They destroyed the equipment deliberately and in a planned way, and their specific defence is a very honourable defence that's been used in other peace movements. That they had to break the law to prevent a greater crime. Now, they're being allowed to use that defence in court, and on the first day of the trial, which was last Monday, the judge suggested that the jury needed some background information, and he provided them with a summary of the Goldstone report. So it's going to be a very interesting interesting case, and to see that it will have a lot of implications for direct action in this country and internationally.
Yeah, Hilary wants to say a few words about our activities.
Yeah, just to tell everybody, the next planning meeting, Moshir made reference to it, the second Wednesday, which is actually the fourth Wednesday, the 14th of July, and the meetings are here. So anybody who wants to take part in being planning our organisation,
active upstairs,
7:30.
I would suggest booking in a large room.
Maybe. Maybe, yes.
And the other thing I wanted to tell you about is on the Monday, the 12th of July, there is a group of young people from Ida refugee camp near Bethlehem coming on a dance and cultural tour. It's called Art and Cultural Resistance. And they're coming to Sheffield to do a dance performance at Longley Park College. And they're doing a dance performance at 7, and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, some of the young people are involved in making film about their life in the West Bank. So they're showing film at 4 o'clock and dance at 7 o'clock, and it's a free event and it's open to the public. So that's at Longley Park College, and that's being organised by our group. So please, if you could pass the message on about that.
12th of July.
Monday the 12th of
Monday
July.
Monday the 12th of July. And it's
4 o'clock for the film show and 7 o'clock for the dance performance.
But we have only 150 places available, so if you're interested, contact us to make sure that you'll have a place, because otherwise we will just allow the first 150 people. And from our experience in the past, folk dance groups attracted a lot of attention, so you can contact the group if you're interested in making in wanting to attend, you know. Any other points anyone else wants to raise with our campaign? Any proposals, any ideas?
Nothing.
Clarify why Dick has emphasised Rotherham.
Can we?
The point is that in Rotherham MP Dennis McShane
yes.
campaigning to make criticism of Israel fall under the category of racial incitement by anti-Semitism. So it's quite important to take up the issue in Rotherham. I want to tell you something that we came across on Saturday. Saturday there was a meeting of the all the branches in the UK of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign. There are now over 50 branches, even in small places like Guildford and Hereford. So the movement is really expanding. And somebody from Leeds came at that meeting and said that in Leeds there was also a very prominent campaign of Israel called Runic, I think it was Michael Runic. And he was a young Asian guy who decided that an alliance could be formed within the community to unseat him. And they managed to do that. They ran a campaign, and the last week before the vote, when Rooney was beginning to feel that he was going to lose this election, he came to the group and said that he had his own criticisms of Israel. So it works. And if they can do it in Leeds, we can do it in Rotherham.
Definitely.
So that's why it's important to try and get a coalition of groups together in Rotherham and start the campaign now. We don't know where the election will be in 2 years' time, 4 years' time, but it's worth beginning to work in Rotherham to build up to that. And that would be a good start for us to have.
Thank you, Paul. That's very encouraging news, you know, that people's power, what we're campaigning, networking. And just to let you know, in Sheffield we have 4 members of parliament, or even 5, who are Labour friends of Israel. So we really, I mean, with all the support we have in Sheffield, we really should really pressurize them and campaign against them. It's nearly approaching 9:15, and I think we covered a lot of issues, and the main thing is that we continue to campaign. Really like to see all these faces, blood or no blood, flotilla or no flotilla. You know, the issue of the Palestinian cause is a long-term one, very long-term one. The struggle will go on for long. That's not being negative. It's a true fact of the matter. We are against all the odds, but we are growing among good people like yourselves. But we need to sustain our campaign. We need to strengthen our campaign. We need to continue with our campaign on the grounds and the values that we are on. Values of humanity, values of brotherhood, values of non-sectarianism, values of brotherhood of man, values of wanting to oppose oppression, wanting to work against injustice.
And sisterhood.
Brotherhood and personhood.
Sisterhood.
Personhood. Sisterhood. Thank you all very much. It's been a successful and fantastic meeting. And thank you. I hope to see you.